Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. What show? Today's show. When antibiotics don't work, what to do about it? How many of you have had a friend, a loved one, perhaps yourself, and the doctor tells you this antibiotic isn't working. We need to culture the microbe. Now, that might be for pneumonia. It might be for a urinary tract infection. It might be for Staphylococcus aureus. That's a skin bacterium that creates a carbuncle or a pustule or some big, ugly red pimple mark. And you use the antibiotics and they don't work. You go back to the doctor and they give you a different antibiotic. You start getting nervous because this seems to be a recurrent pattern. And lo and behold, at some point the doctor says, you've got MRSA. And you go, what's MRSA? Well, MRSA stands for methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, which is the response of the bacteria to relentless antibiotic therapy that makes the bacteria mutate, and so it becomes antibiotic resistant. This is legion in the hospitals, in the daycare center, in the gymnasiums. And sometimes the strain of MRSA is flesh-eating, and then you hear the horror stories about the guy that was normal one day, and the next day they were amputating a chunk of his flesh after repeated intravenous antibiotic therapies that didn't work. What are we supposed to learn from this? Well, you know, you can't get nervous to the point of hysterical about it, but what you have to understand is microbes think. Microbes are living organisms. They have intelligences, and they have responses stimulated by what you send in there to kill them. We have had a great span with antibiotic therapies. Mind you, antibiotic therapies discovered by Fleming in 1929 was simply fungus that killed microbes, fungus that killed bacteria. Fleming was a scientist. He was doing his Petri dish experiments and incidentally noticed that there were certain parts of the Petri dish that didn't grow the bacteria. And in place of the bacteria was this other stuff, which he cultured and found to be fungus. Putting two to two together, and we birthed antibiotic therapy. By 1940, we were mass producing the antibiotics, and of course, the rest is history. Antibiotics work. Antibiotics have saved life. Antibiotics are a blessing. But we've been messing with organisms that know how to think. They play chess. And now it's getting tricky. Now, the point, corollary to this, from the 1850s was another approach. Meaning, while Pasteur, who first got successful with cures for rabies using vaccines, which are basically natural medicine. A vaccine is really natural medicine tempered by science. And I'll explain that in a moment. But back in the 1880s, 1890s, when Pasteur was peaking, there was competition from a group of equally credentialed men, Beauchamp, Claude Bernard, and later on down the line, Gaston Nessens, Royal Rife. The point is, this notion that we have to kill it has been competed with for let me put it to you this way. We have been using microbes to kill microbes all the way back to ancient medicine. And for as much as Pasteur gets all the credit for killing microbes with man-made therapies, well, back as far as the Middle Ages, the Chinese were taking smallpox. Now, smallpox has killed about 300 million people. The Chinese were taking smallpox scabs, grinding them up and snorting them to confer immunity, and I mean lifelong immunity, to people that could weather the storm. And by the storm, I mean when you take a microbe and you attenuate it. So what do we mean by attenuate it? When you take a bacteria, or you take, as in the case of smallpox, a virus, and you do something to it that weakens it a little bit, and then you inoculate it, you snort it, you take it intravenously, you take it through the rectum, you rub it into your skin. However you get this slightly modified virus or bacteria into your body, it stimulates an immune response that, because the virus or bacteria has been altered, attenuated, weakened a little, you can get sick, but you can get over it. Once you get over it, you become immune, and your immunity is lifelong. The Chinese were doing this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Pasteur simply transferred it to a harder form of science. Now, Edward Jenner, who predates Pasteur by 100 or so years, was noticing that cow people, meaning what we call the cow maids, the women who milked the cows, while smallpox was epidemic, the women, the milkmaids, who got cowpox, which wasn't as lethal, as dangerous as smallpox, the women that got cowpox seemed to resist smallpox at a far more dramatic degree. And so what Jenner decided to do is inoculate with cowpox. He decided to take people and use an attenuated form of the smallpox virus, in this case cowpox, and started conferring immunity. So this notion of fighting bacteria with bacteria, we note in the history of health history. Now, what does this mean for you today? It means you have to start to think very, very differently about how you're going to approach these sad messages you get sometimes, where you find out that the antibiotic doesn't work on your bacteria. And that's a dual approach. One, and this is what's so exciting, it opens up the discussion to the possibility that if you have an infection that is antibiotic resistant, that you might just use forms of bacteria. In other words, your own types of inoculations to fight the microbe that the antibiotic fails to fight. And guess what? This has been going on, I told you, hundreds of years. But let me bring some science in. During the 1920s, the 1930s, even before that, German scientists were studying a microbe that lives in your gut called E. coli. Now, this is not the strain of E. coli that causes food poisoning. So don't get me wrong. E. coli has many different types of E. coli. There is an E. coli that lives in your gut naturally. And German scientists found that if they bred it and they fed it back to your body, that it would go after the pathogens. It would go after those same bugs that the antibiotic goes after, only with startling success. Now, hang on to your hats, because the fact of the matter is, this is actually being used today. We are using E. coli, a certain strain of it, to do fecal implants for people who are antibiotic resistant for diseases in the gastrointestinal tract. Discover Magazine did a great article. I have, if you get to the website, as always, straighttalk.cc, not .com, but .cc, that's with two T's, straighttalk.cc. Click to view the article on fecal transplantation, bacteriotherapy. This is a concept we've got to get in touch with. They're actually taking your loved one or your family's feces, which is going to be high in that E. coli strain, and they're putting it into your body rectally to have it flourish and knock out the pathogens that the antibiotic failed to do. Check that out. But in the big picture, what I want to give to you is this understanding that you can't just fight microbes with antibiotics anymore. Because the antibiotics think. And this is the thing about antibiotics. Excuse me, the bacteria think. And this is the thing about microbes. We need to develop another relationship with them. And that relationship has to respect the fact that we can genetically engineer as many drugs as we want. In the end, we will be outsmarted by the microbe. Whether that microbe is a bacteria or whether that microbe is a virus is irrelevant. Living organisms have brains. They know how to swap genes. And while we're following their trail by first coding their own genetic sequence and then engineering something to counter the replication pattern, in other words, we engineer drugs beyond antibiotics, or call them antibiotics, to go into their replication patterns and break their sequences, their mechanisms. Well, that means we're always one or two steps behind because everything we do is countered. And if there's one thing I have learned over 20 years of doing this, is if you pursue a microbe by threatening its genetic code, it's going to go into its special conference and it's going to re-engineer itself. You even see this with chemotherapy. People, when they get the metastatic cancers, not the original tumor, but the metastatic cancers, and all of a sudden, and they're doing this all over cancer therapy now, they are doing the genetic pattern. They're testing for the genetics of the mutated cancerous tumors. And finding that, unfortunately, the cancer has mutated so that the old chemo didn't work. And they have to look for a new chemo. Or they find it's mutated after they gave you the wrong chemo. Again, cancer is a living organism. You don't think of it that way. We only think of it as let's kill it. Understand this, not just about cancer, but especially about microbes. If you attack, you force it to respond, and it responds by a mutation. And that mutation is why we are getting now to the era of antibiotic resistant microbes. Staph is one of them. When you see that Staphylococcus aureus infection on your skin, impetigo is a strain of one. If you've been told you have Staph aureus on the skin, that Staph is in your body. That Staph on your skin is contagious. You give that Staph on your skin to somebody else in the family, at what point does that Staph become resistant? Those of you who have done Accutane, the acne drug. Those of you who have done long-term antibiotics, people with bladder infections. Antibiotic after antibiotic after antibiotic, and what do you find at some point? The antibiotics don't work, and you live with bladder infections. Once you have an infection that's mutated against antibiotic therapy, you don't know where you're going. You don't know what that bug is going to do. Fact of the matter is, if your probiotic bacteria in the gut have been wiped out, if you've, say, done IV antibiotics, if you've done drugs like Accutane, if you've done long-term antibiotics, and you lose the probiotics, now let's talk about the probiotics in your gut, the first one. And I'm not talking about just your regular lactobacillus or bifidus, bulgaricus, acidophilus, all that stuff you can pick up at your health food store. I'm talking about something like mutiflora. German scientists in the 19-teens, before World War I, during World War I, World War II, during those areas, 1910 to 1950, were studying E. coli. There was a scientist named Dr. Nissle, N-I-S-S-L-E. If you go on the website to picture number 32, you can learn about a product called Mutiflora. Mutiflora has been studied. Mutiflora is a particular strain of E. coli. It's a probiotic. It is classified as a probiotic, but it's not the normal probiotic. It has been studied. I put articles on the website. It has been studied so completely and so thoroughly.